This podcast is brought to you by rubiesinn.com. Book a room, and if you stay an additional night at Ruby's Inn, you can get a 40 to 50% discount on all additional nights. Explore Bryce Canyon with Ruby's Inn, the wonder of the West.
This is something special for you.
This is Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Ben Criddle here. Mitch Harper is by my side, the host of the Cougar Center podcast, and also the recruiting guru over at CougarNation.com, running the Rivals website. Check that out for a small nominal fee up to, what was it, 26 cents a day?
Yeah, 26 cents a day. Get access team and recruiting coverage of BYU, message boards, and also you get access to the entire Rivals.com network. So it's not just the BYU site. You get every team to follow up on the opponents, like Utah State, that we're going to be talking about here just shortly.
That's right. Let's welcome in our good friend from the Salt Lake Tribune.
Oh, well, you know, they finished up spring ball a couple weeks ago. Looking to, you know, sort of turn things around after a season that left a lot of people disappointed. So, you know, they got a new offensive coordinator, a couple of new members of the staff. Looking to, you know, they got a lot of guys they got to replace on the line of scrimmage, both sides of the ball. So it's going to be interesting to see how things unfold here.
Yeah, we had Coach Matt Wells on our show last week, or earlier this week, and we discussed a few things with him. And The hot topic right now for most BYU fans is the Tukuafu situation. What do you know about the blocking of Tukuafu and that release not being given to him?
Just basically that, I mean, he had to sign the letter of intent, and then now is with BYU, but it doesn't seem as though there's a whole lot of appetite from Utah State on letting them out of that letter of intent that he originally signed. So I don't think when I asked Matt about it, he didn't say a whole lot about it except for just basically that, you know, we definitely signed him to a letter of intent. He's not part of our program right now, and he didn't really seem all that happy about it, but he didn't really go into detail. But it doesn't seem that there's, like I said, much appetite for giving them a release. So, I mean, then maybe that changes over the next couple of months. But as of right now, that's what it seems like it stands.
Yeah, he went into some depth on why he did what he did. He talks about it's a two-way agreement, and he would honor that agreement if a football player came back off his mission and he was sick or he didn't look like the athlete that he had recruited initially. But I guess there is somewhat of an issue I take with that, and the issue is that the coach on a year-to-year basis can decide whether that scholarship is actually given without any sort of repercussion. Whereas he can block a young man from playing the following year after he transfers. So what's your take on the whole transfer issue and maybe return missionaries leaving after they return home from their mission to another school?
Well, I guess it you know, I mean, for if you're looking at it from, you know, whether you're a fan of a certain school or, you know, somebody at that school, you probably say, okay, you did the work recruiting guy, everything was set to go, and then afterwards, if there's a change of heart, it makes you wonder, well, what happened in between there? Was there something going on behind the scenes that, you know, whether somebody came in and sort of recruited the guy that you had already committed to you? I mean, and it's, I'm sure that that's, or at least I would think that would be one of those things that you'd wonder about and say, well, wait a minute now, what's, you know, we had this thing going on. We sort of planned for, obviously, the guy going on the mission, but, you know, you sort of work things out and sort of plan for that, you know, the two-year gap, and then, you know, having this guy coming in to be part of your team, and then things all of a sudden change on you. I'm sure there's probably some questions, and maybe, you know, I could sort of see where guys maybe want to sort of protect themselves from this becoming a regular thing, whereas at the same time, if you're on the other side of that, you probably feel like, you know, holding you hostage a little bit, even if it's just for a year.
Lynn Worthy of the Salt Lake Tribune on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. What was Utah State able to accomplish in spring ball that stood out to you?
The primary thing was getting the new offense installed with new offensive coordinator David Yost, who had a lot of success at Missouri when they had, you know, Brad Smith. You had Chase Daniel, Wayne Gabbert, you know, some guys that, you know, went on and had success, or at least went on to the next level. And then he spent some time with at Washington State, and then most recently was at Oregon, where they had a freshman quarterback who came in the middle of the season and put up some really big numbers for in terms of the history of that program. So him coming in, I know they've really increased the tempo. Quarterback Kent Myers was talked a couple of times about how he's really excited about the idea of throwing the ball downfield, throwing the ball more, and an offense that he feels like he's comfortable in. It's sort of similar to the way he played in high school. So that was one of the main things, was they basically had it all installed in the spring, because Yost just came on staff at the very end of December, early January. So getting that established, and then just sort of trying to find out about some of the new guys, because they've got a lot of spots on the offensive line to fill. I don't think that that's set yet, but at least getting a look at some of those guys. And then on the defensive front seven, there's a bunch of spots to fill there, and getting a look at those guys. I don't think that's quite set yet either, but at least getting the ball rolling on that, and getting a look at some guys, some position changes, some guys moving around a little bit. So they sort of got that, at least to get the jump start on that.
Lynn, since you started, you know, covering Utah State and being on the beat for the Aggies, have you got a sense around the program that going into this season, Matt Wells' seat as the head coach is getting warmer?
I mean, from the outside, that's sort of, you know, you sort of expect that just based off of, you know, the results and the fact that, you know, it was in December where the AD felt the need to come out and sort of say that his job was safe. So anytime there's a feeling that that's needed, then you figure that there's probably some grumblings, or there's some, you know, it's got to be getting a little bit hot. But you don't really see it when you're around. At least I haven't seen it when I've been around, whether it's practice and things like that, or just talking to Matt. It's more just the idea of wanting to have a successful season, not so much the trying to put the pressure on of saving a job or anything like that. So you don't necessarily see it, whether it's there behind the scenes. You know, it's sort of hard to tell, but I think it's more so far the idea, at least around the team, that they just want to have a successful season so they get back to the sort of success they had a few years back, as opposed to the last couple of seasons where they've been sort of left with a sour taste in their mouth.
Yeah, those few years back with Gary Anderson in the beginning of the Matt Wells tenure were really successful. It kind of felt like it set a higher bar for Utah State. So with that in mind, what would be considered successful for Utah State in 2017, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, first thing you got to do is, I mean, you want to be, you know, you got to get back above 500 for sure. They want to be back and compete for, you know, a spot in the a bowl. So I mean, I think getting back about 500, competing for getting into a bowl game, being towards the top half of the Mountain West, I think those are the sorts of things that you're looking for if you're Utah State, especially after 3-9 campaign last year and not being in a bowl where they were gotten to that run where they were there. They're going to some sort of a bowl every year. So I think getting over 500, getting to the bowl, and being towards the top half of the Mountain West, definitely be things you're looking for.
What are some of the weaknesses that this Utah State team has to address in the offseason? They got a tough schedule ahead of them. They face BYU on September 29th. It's a Friday night game. It'll be probably on ESPN, either ESPN1 or ESPN2, I believe. So you got to be ready for that game, obviously. It's an in-state rival. What do they need to address?
The first thing, and you know, I mentioned that they put in a new offense, but the first thing you've got to do, whether it's an old offense, new offense, whatever offense you want to have, you got to have some guys up front on the offensive line. And they've got to replace about four guys who are either starters or pretty much starters. And the group they've got coming back, you got a total of, I think it was 16 starts amongst the group that was coming back. They brought in some, some junior college guys, some transfer type guys to sort of help. And then, obviously it's a recruiting class, but I mean, and a couple of guys who are actually familiar to folks down there, I think, in terms of, Quinn Ficklin, who sort of moved in and, looks like he might be in the running to get some time on the offensive line. Roman Andrus, who I believe was a D lineman when he originally came through there and then went to a junior college and now is on the offensive line. Preston Brooksby, the guy who's coming back, who's got most of the experience. But they're still, trying to figure out, like, they've got a bunch of guys and some redshirt guys who are now going to be a year older, and they're trying to, take a look at those guys and also figure out, who they feel like are going to be the guys who can play, but then also try to figure out what spots they're at. And they were sort of moving guys around throughout the whole all spring ball. So I don't think they're really set at that spot. It's just more of a, they've been looking to see who they like, who they feel like can contribute right away. And they still have to figure out who's going to be in what spots. So the offensive line is going to be a big deal to figure out, how that's going to fit and for them to get that chemistry and that mesh. And then on the flip side, the defensive front seven, they lose two of their top, the two top tacklers from last year at the linebacker core. And they've got two guys who got some pretty good experience coming back, and Derek Larson and Alex Huerta. But they've been moving them around between inside and outside. They've been, moving guys. And it's one of those areas that Wells had mentioned a few times that he's still sort of looking for consistency there. I think some of the junior college guys who weren't early additions who will be coming in the summer could have a lot to say about what they do at that linebacker spot. Defensive backfield is pretty strong, but I think the front seven, there's still some things to be figured out. G-Max Schuster is one of the guys who's played a lot the last couple of years in the nose guard spot. He's looked really good in the spring. Probably playing a bigger role, but they still have to figure out who some of the other guys are and what spot they're going to be in.
Lynn, on a personal note, how's my boy Baron Gajkowski doing? Is he looking okay?
He's one of the safeties, right?
He's safety.
Came off the redshirt year, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Came off the redshirt year. Him and was it Braxton Dunfer were two of the guys that Wells had mentioned throughout the, a couple times throughout the spring ball, that guys who had really sort of made steps forward or playing physical that he was really impressed with. And I think both of them at one point were the types of guys that he mentioned coming out of one of the scrimmages that, had sort of put themselves in the spot where they, they're going to probably earn themselves times on the field in one way or another just by the way they've sort of been, playing with the physicality and the playing fast, playing hard, that sort of thing. So
are they competing with each other, both those? Are Barron and Braxton in the same safety spot? Because Dallin Leavitt has the other safety spot locked up?
Yeah, I mean, so that's where it's one of those things where, like I say, when he says, they're probably trying to get him on the field somewhere or another. I mean, some might be some special teams, it might be, guys rotating in, but because Leavitt is clearly one of the guys that they feel like could be an all-conference type guy and has been a starter, along with Jalen Davis at the corner spot. So, but
as long as he stays away from USC wide receivers.
they've opened up the coach's spot. So I mean, the coach's eyes, at least in spring ball.
Yeah.
So and that defensive backfield could be interesting because Rayshard Lewis is probably going to play both ways, and it's still to be determined exactly how that's going to look. But they seem like they really like him at both spots. I mean, because he made an impact as a wide receiver last year in a spot that he really didn't play that much coming out of high school. And now he's going to play some defense as well. And, I mean, when they had the spring game, they had him working in with the first defense. So it'd be interesting to see how that defensive backfield looks. But they got guys that they like back there, that's for sure.
Lynn, it's great to have you on our airwaves. I apologize for getting your last name incorrect initially. Lynn Worthy, Cougar fans, follow him on Twitter, L Worthy Sports on Twitter. Thank you so much, Lynn. Keep doing your work, man.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Great stuff, man. Getting to know the foe, Utah State.